We're wrapping up this morning our series called Renew, and next week we're starting a new series in the Old Testament book of Exodus. Exodus is a great read. It's an important book, biblical book, containing kind of foundational stories and themes and characters that we're going to do a deep dive in. I think it's going to be fun and also challenging, and I believe there's good news all through that series that's in store for us. Recognizing that Exodus is not just somebody else's story, it's our story. And so we're looking forward to that. That's next week. But for this first month of January, we've been considering God's promise to make us new as we follow Jesus. And we've begun to see that in our friends that shared their stories this morning, how God is making them new. And in this 21 days of prayer, I don't know about you, but it's one thing I've been praying for us and for my own life is that God would renew us, that God would actually cause us to step into more of the newness that God promises for us. Don't you want that? Wouldn't it be great if God answered that prayer? And so we've been looking at practices that can help us on that journey. And let's do a quick review of where we've come so far. Week one, we zeroed in on the practice of fasting. Likely the least practiced spiritual discipline. Why? Because we like to eat, right? But we discovered and talked about how increasing our physical hunger can actually lead to increasing our spiritual hunger. Some of you have been fasting once a week or even more, and that may be a practice that would be good for you to integrate into your life, like to actually move forward. And I know many of you have planned for that. Because I think some of the benefits of these practices are as you practice them. As Dallas Willard says, practices take practice. You learn as you go. Then in week two, we considered five kind of cultural challenges that we are all facing right now, from complexity and loneliness to joylessness and fatigue. I thought about you asking you to turn to your neighbor and say to them, you still look tired. You could probably do that. To counter those challenges, we proposed practices of prayer, friendship, gratitude, play or rest, and confession. And someone shared with me this week how they have employed gratitude micro habits in their kind of daily routines and how that's bringing them increased levels of joy. The payoff to gratitude is a joyful life. So good. Last week, Helen Burns gave us a deeper dive into prayer, and she talked about how the practice of prayer is mostly about pursuing intimacy with God and leaning into a face-to-face relationship with God. She reminded us how intentional that we need to be with the practice of prayer. Like a life of prayer won't kind of erupt into your life. We need a rhythm or a habit to support it. It's like something you've got to schedule. Kind of like a date night can be a healthy rhythm for a couple. So all these can be helpful practices that I would say can help us cultivate a life with God that thrives and causes us to flourish. Because Jesus says he came to give us life and life to the full. So today we're going to look at like 17 more practices. I'm kidding. Just one practice this morning. But first, let's pause and say a word of thanks. Lord, in these last 21 days, as we've been praying and seeking and learning how to thank you, to pause in our days, to notice what you're up to, I thank you for what you're doing at Hillside. What you're doing in us, and as has been my prayer, I pray you do more. We ask for more this morning, God. Renew us, strengthen our faith. Help us with our habits that we might live out our days in ways that would draw us closer, that would direct us towards the sunshine, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the practice we're going to talk about this morning is really inspired by the theme of the Holy Spirit Conference, which they described as being the healing after the healing. The idea being that the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit is often just the first step to a deeper, slower, soul-healing work that God does in us and wants to do. It's what the psalmist pictures in Psalm 147, where he says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And the idea is that biblical salvation, of having our lives turned upside down by God, is not just about forgiveness of our sins, it's really about that, but also the healing of what sin has broken in us. I'd say this is important because I've been a pastor for a lot of years now, and here's something I've learned along the way, I've learned from us together and our life together, is that most of us are pretty good at looking okay, right? Like, I think so, right? We actually, thank you for wearing clothes this morning. That was helpful for me. But think about this for a second. Did you know this? You can take a picture of yourself. You can take a headshot of yourself. You can throw it into a AI bot and ask it to remove your wrinkles. If you're older, you can ask it to remove your wrinkles, and out will come the shining version of you. Imagine. I have yet to ask it what I would look like with hair, but I will. Trust me on that. But we do a pretty good job of walking about our lives looking okay, kind of masking over our wrinkles. We know how to show up. We know how to smile and kind of manage life on the surface level. We know how to say, I'm fine, even though we might not be fine. But if we're honest, many of us are carrying beneath the surface of our lives things that haven't been healed yet. We know and love Jesus, but we carry old wounds. We have regrets, or as we learned at this conference yesterday, that many of us carry deep, deep shame. We have these unresolved griefs and patterns of sin, or a low-grade ache that just won't go away. And here's the tension. I would say we often ask God to change our circumstances. God, I want you to make my life circumstances better, while God is more interested in healing our hearts. If I learned anything from this Holy Spirit conference, is that God is committed to your healing. So the spiritual practice that I'm proposing today is something I'm calling praying backwards. It's something we can easily include in our lives. It's a simple practice, and it has all kinds of benefits to our emotional health, our relationship with God, and our relationship to ourselves. And it can be a practice that over time can lead to a greater experience of inner healing in our lives. And it's not dramatic, it's not a quick fix, but it's a simple, ancient practice that creates space for God to heal us from the inside out. So praying backwards, other Christians have called it the prayer of examine. The prayer of examine, let me talk to you about it for a minute here, what it is, and then talk practically about how we can incorporate it into our everyday life. The prayer of examine was introduced or developed by a Christian leader named Ignatius of Loyola. I often hear him called Saint Ignatius of Loyola. I guess he was from Loyola. That's why he's of Loyola. I think I would be Derwin of Coquitlam, which is cool. You can introduce your friends that way. I think it'd be a great thing to start a new trend in our community. And if they're really nice people, you could call them Saint Peter of Coquitlam. I like it. I could catch on. But the prayer of examine is often encouraged as a daily practice that is meant to slow us down and then look back or review our previous day with God. So it's typically the kind of praying that you do at the end of your day, after work or before bedtime. Most of us, I would say, finish our day and we kind of immediately move on. We're scrolling, we're sleeping, or we're worrying about tomorrow, right? The examine, or praying backwards, invites us to say, God, help me look back before I look forward. Now, in many Christian traditions, including ours, we emphasize a quiet time or prayer time in the morning. We could call that praying forward. We're often, you know, trying to start our day, reorientating our lives towards God. And many of you have well-traveled trails or habits around kind of some morning routine. You maybe read some scripture and you pray. And this has been a very important part of my journey with God. I can't imagine not starting my day with some version of time with God, time with Jesus. So I encourage that. But having a short reflective time of prayer at the end of the day can then help us kind of walk back through our experiences and notice what went on in us today. In what ways did I feel thankful? Where did I feel tense, rushed, or disconnected? Where did I sense God's nearness? Where did I sense God being far away? What's good about this is as we do it regularly, we start to see patterns in our hearts. We learn what gives us life, and we learn what drains us of our life. And over time, this simple practice can train us in noticing or becoming more aware of God's presence, not just in church, but in our homes and in our workplaces, at school, and in kind of our ordinary moments throughout our days. Richard Foster, he's the writer who changed my life with his book about 40 years ago, Celebration of Discipline. He writes that the examine of consciousness, or praying backwards as I'm calling it, is the means God uses to make us more aware of our surroundings. It can train us in kind of spiritual alertness through our days. Because here's the thing, as you begin to reflect on and notice how God met you today or where you became aware of his presence in your life, you look back and go, oh, God was really in that moment, in that relationship or in that conversation. You're actually more likely to notice those moments when they come the next day. And beyond, you're training yourself in really what we've called over the years practicing the presence of God. The other big part of this prayer is that we are inviting God to search our hearts. We find this prayer in Psalm 139. Helen pointed it to us this last week, and it's really the anchoring scripture of this praying backward practice where the psalmist prays. Listen to this. It's just profound. You'd think this was written for you. And it was written, you know, 2,800 years ago. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think in the modern day, we think we have a corner on anxious thoughts. I think it's a human condition thing. We're really good at it, though, by the way, just in case you were wondering. But what a prayer. It's kind of like inviting God to, like, hey, shine a light on me and my heart and my behaviors and my attitudes and the way I've been living. Shine a light on that. What a brilliant prayer. It's a prayer of opening up our lived life to God. Again, to quote Richard Foster, asking God to search us means that without apology and without defense, we ask to see what is truly in us. It is for our own sake that we ask these things. It is for our good, for our healing, for our happiness. That kind of praying is more about listening than defending. Angel and I have been married for a long, long time. I like the shout-out that Angel got this morning. That was an amazing quote. I'm going to replay that. She is an intimidating character and powerful in presence, and I get to live with her. It's awesome, always. And we have this ongoing kind of struggle in our marriage when she sees something that she may be disappointed in me or something. Maybe it's about something I said. Can you imagine me saying something that would offend somebody ever? Like my mouth, never. I can't imagine it. But so often, and this is just an ongoing kind of journey, often my response to her is something along the lines of playing defense. Like, I think you misunderstood me. I think you got it wrong. Or I was just joking. Or I didn't mean it. By the way, I just want to say this. That is not a productive relational strategy. It is really, you know, not helpful. But when we spend time with God reflecting on our lives, when we invite him to search us, it is absolutely, just like in a relationship it shouldn't be, but it's not about defending ourselves or making any kind of excuses. Because I might be able to say, I don't know if Angel's got the right perspective on that. I can't say that of God. Like, he has all perspective. He knows me inside and out. He knows me better than I know myself. And so we don't need to be making excuses to God. He knows already. He sees. And we don't need to be afraid of God kind of shining his light on our hearts, because we know that his intention is to come to us and heal us and make us whole and bring us life. Amen? So good. That's who he is. I was struck by this point in a conference yesterday in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve mess up. They break things so bad, and it has the potential of creating this terminal rift with God. And what's the next thing we read? God comes to find them. And he begins, actually, right in that moment. Like, we know that there's consequences to their brokenness, but what does he do? He comes to find them and rescue them and start anew with them. And by the way, this morning, there's those of you who you go, I've got this life-defining mistake. I've done something that's been so bad, so hurtful. You may be able to, ask for forgiveness of others, but you might not be able to forgive yourself, because you look at what you did and you go, God's first thing when he sees you is not one of condemnation and shame. He comes to you to rescue you from that and heal you and say, let's start over. He's always about starting over in our lives, right? He's about healing. I love that about God. So praying backwards. I actually think it's the kind of moment in our days that I don't think we would want to miss. Why would we want to miss this? Starting your day well is a great, great practice. Why not end your day well? Like bracket your day with God. And I just can imagine that between those two practices, it includes all of the in-betweens as well. I love that. So how do we do this? I would say this. I don't think it's complicated. It doesn't require a quiet retreat or, an hour of silence. It can be done in just a few minutes at the end of the day. Likely, really, any time after your school or after your work. It could happen before dinner when you have maybe a quiet moment, or after dinner. It could happen just before bed. But you're taking just a few minutes and you're thinking about and you're reviewing your day with God. Personally, I try to do this on my way home from work. And my way home is not very long. It's not a long commute, so it's 5 minutes. And often I continue it on, maybe sometimes sit in the driveway a little bit longer. Or if I'm able to doing it just for a few minutes before supper. Sometimes I do it when I'm lying in bed like I did last night. Part of last night was, Lord, I am so tired. this kind of praying has what's traditionally been five simple movements, and I want to credit John Mark Comer, who helped, I'd say, simplify this for me and just make it a little bit more accessible for our day. First is this, five movements. First is this, become aware of God's presence. So you're pausing wherever you are in this praying backwards to just be aware that God is there, right there in that moment. God is here, and God is good, and he's not disappointed in you, and he's not been surprised by what's happened in your day. He's just present. And if you need help kind of noticing that, you can just pray a simple prayer. Just pray, come Holy Spirit. That's what often I start many of my prayer times now, is just come Holy Spirit. Just believing he's there. Secondly, review your day honestly. This is kind of like playing back your day like a video recording in your mind's eye. And what you're looking for is for signs of God. And rejoice in the moments where you said yes to him. And repent of the moments where you said no to him. So review the day honestly. Third, pay attention to your emotions. What did you feel throughout your day? Reflect on where you felt life today. Where did you feel tension or irritation or sadness or exhaustion? Look for God in the undercurrents of your heart. When did you feel close to him? Or when did you feel far away? When did you feel joy? When did you feel sorrow? This is so helpful for me to do this, because I struggle with knowing what I'm feeling. And so at times it's good for me to sit with Jesus and sort of articulate the emotions I'm experiencing, and it helps. Number four, pray what you got. Pray one aspect of your day back to God. Just one thing, a sorrow, a gratitude, a need. Finally, number five, Look toward tomorrow. Ask for God's grace to do better tomorrow. This is not a, God, I'll do better tomorrow, you know, by willpower, but more like, God, I ask for grace to change. At the end of the day, I'd say we're often so aware of all we didn't get done. We're aware of our failures. In prayer, we just give those over to God's mercy, and then we ask Him for the gift of rest. That's it. No spiritual theatrics, just an honest review of your life that day with a loving God. And this can take all kinds of shapes and sizes. Doing this properly probably takes about 10 to 15 minutes. I'd say the easiest way is with a prayer journal or with a written prompt that can keep your mind from wandering. You can do it in a 5-minute version if you're short on time, as you're driving home from work or you're walking your dog. Or you can do this weekly on your Sabbath, where you take kind of look back over your week, and that can be maybe a more extended time. If you're restricted by family in the season of life you're in, you could do this with family or roommates that you do dinner with. We already talked about the gratitude practice of sharing a gratitude. You could do that and just add maybe the question of, where did you feel God's nearness today? That's something you can do. The main goal here is to soak up all that God has for you in life, to never stop growing. And as some of us learned through the Practicing the Way course, this quote from Trevor Hudson, he says, we don't change from experience. We change when we reflect on our experience. We don't change from our experiences themselves. We change as we reflect back on our experiences. So praying practice. So praying backwards, I would suggest, is a easy practice that any of us could try. We can experiment with. I'm certainly experimenting more with this in my life, trying to figure out, where does this fit, and I want to do this more. Just to wrap up here, let me circle back. Why might this practice of praying backward lead to inner healing? Three things. This practice does three powerful things. First, it brings hidden pain into God's presence. Psychologist Kurt Thompson, as we heard him yesterday, suggested that most of us have like a freight train load worth of accumulated shame that we carry in our lives. It's like coming down the track and you can't stop it to see. Like, there's just, you're helpless with it. You see, unacknowledged wounds do not just disappear, they deepen. But when we begin to name them before God, healing begins. Second, I would say it interrupts shame. Praying backward interrupts shame. It's shame tells us to hide. Shame tells us we're not our, shame tells us we are our worst moments. But when we review and open our lives up to God, we hear a different voice, the voice of Jesus, who says to us, come into the life, light, you are loved. And third, this practice restores us to our true identity, where we're not defined by our failures or our past. We're not pretending to be something that we're not, but we're just loved and forgiven, and in the process of being healed. Why don't we pray? And I think we're just going to close in prayer, because we're looking at the clock, and turn to your neighbor and say, it's really late. Wow. So thankful Derwin really shortened his message. Let's pray. Lord, you know our lives forward and backwards and everything in between. And we are assured of this, that your love for us is great. It's beyond compare. And you love us so much that you want to heal us in the deepest places. And this morning, we want to just bring before you our hurts and our wounds and our shame. We don't even know what it all is, but we would pray, Lord, the kind of work that you want to do in us, that deep work. Would you lead us this year as a congregation? Would you lead each of us on a healing journey? Would you free us from those things that enslave us? Would you cause us to experience greater freedom in you and in ourselves? And I think of just the practices we've been trying to think about this last month. And as we seek to, like, try some things to give us the help we need to like order our days. Thank you for the opportunities we have to change our lifestyle and in some senses accommodate it for the priority of connecting with you. But not just for the relationship, which is such a beautiful thing, Lord, but also because you want to help us see you in the midst of our day. So as we learn to pray, teach us what praying backwards at the end of our days might look like. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you might teach us this year to notice you more, to see things and learn things about our lives that would be transformative. I say again, thank you for what you're doing. I pray for more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.